If you are a person that tends to fall head over heels, especially if you've been physically intimate with someone, do not cross that line.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and I have Catlin with me today, who's joining me for the second part of the series, which is how do people fall victim to narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships? And today we are actually going to be talking about not only the signs, which we've discussed in our previous episodes, but also how to avoid that trap, how to pretty much avoid falling for a narcissist or a person that is terribly wounded that can possess a lot of narcissistic traits and potentially cause a lot of rupture and chaos. So, Catlin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I'm excited to jump straight into this topic once again. I know we've got a lot to share and a short amount of time to share it, so shall we jump in?
Absolutely. We can talk about this forever. For a long time. We've got lots of stories, as you guys heard from the last episode. But the purpose of today's episode is making sure that there are preventative measures in place to really just set some really good boundaries so that a person that has a lot of kindness, heart, vulnerability, or empathy doesn't end up becoming another person's supply. In other words, being used and then in later down the track being abused, tossed aside. Yeah, pretty much.
And I think these are just good tips for anyone in the early dating stage of their relationship, just
to be wise. Yeah. All right. So, Catlin, I'm going to get you to start. I mean, you are recently married, so you can testify that, you know, you've obviously done the right steps.
I've been on a lot of bad dates. I've kissed a lot of frogs to find my Prince Charming, so yeah.
But you found your Prince Charming. Like, you are literally newlywed. So in my last episode, I mentioned you're pretty much still in the honeymoon phase. You're not. You're actually, to be married, you've gone out of the honeymoon phase, but you've just come out of a honeymoon, like come
literally
from your honeymoon.
From a honeymoon
three weeks ago. You're newlyweds. Mm-hmm. So, Catlin, can you tell us, like, having had, I think you mentioned in the last episode that you've had two relationships with narcissists or people that possessed very strong traits of narcissism. How can people that are listening avoid getting into that kind of situation? What's the first thing that they can do to avoid that from happening, especially if they know that once they are in an intimate relationship, they fall in love, maybe they fall in love madly or easily, or they love love. Like, I'm one of those people where I love the idea of love. I love giving love. I love relationships. How can they prevent that from happening?
Well, I'll add a little extra Catlin-ness to this as well. I am diagnosed ADHD, and as an ADHD person, I tend to hyper-focus on a person when I first start dating them, and so have all those feelings of, oh, I love them so much. And it's really intense, and it's a lot, and it's for a very specific period of time. And my advice for everyone, so I've been that person, for everyone, regardless of ADHD or not, Slow down. I think we all have those overwhelming feelings of head over heels, but we can rush in that place. We can rush everything. And I also know that when we are in that place, we have blinders on. So we actually just refuse. It's actually a part of our brain is receiving so much dopamine and so much adrenaline and excitement. And we physically cannot see people's faults in the first couple of months. So my recommendation would be to slow down. It's easy to get swept up in the moment, but pacing yourself allows you some time to see reality. So calling each other boyfriend, girlfriend, or any of those sorts of things, just
slow it down.
You don't need to see them every single day in the first few weeks. You don't. You can see them once a week. That's painful for somebody like me with ADHD going once a week. But, yeah, you can. It's okay. Slow down. And if they're not okay with that, right off the bat, that's a red flag. So slow down. That would be my recommendation to start with.
I totally agree. I think for me, I'm one of those people that I kind of take dating very lightly in the beginning. Like when I'm dating, I usually find that it's a lot easier for me to be dating more than one person at once because I'm just getting to know people, right? You're not like committed to someone. You're just getting to know people. So have coffee, have coffee with more than one person. Don't put all your eggs in the one basket when you're dating because you fall into the trap of, like what Catelyn has just said, being hyper-focused on that one person, putting them up on a pedestal or
that they did not earn.
That they did not earn. And also trust is earned. It's not given.
That's right.
So just because someone makes you feel like you can divulge all this information very early on doesn't mean that you should. And I think that the good thing is when you are taking it slow, you can have some time apart from that person and analyze how do you feel when you're with that person and how do you feel when you're not with that person? Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you're dating that person versus when you're dating someone else?
Yeah.
How do you show up when you're dating that person versus when you're dating someone else? Are you feeling super insecure when you're dating this person? Yeah. Or does that person make you feel really nervous or uncomfortable? And are those nerves normal and healthy, or is it just because you're really, really excited about that person? And again, if you're feeling all these nerves before seeing someone, before a date, that also could be like not a good sign as well, right?
Actually, that's such a good point. I read once and I found it to be true with my husband. If when you're getting those butterfly feelings, I read once that it's a sign of anxiety and not a good sign. And I found that when I first started dating my husband, I actually didn't get those butterflies. I felt safe. I felt secure. Our relationship, there was no questioning, like, does he feel the same way about me? None of those things were my reality. I knew where I stood. And so I learned that if you do have that butterfly feeling, it's actually a sign that you're insecure and unsteady in your relationship. So,
or it could just be that you're feeling unsafe.
Yeah. So just keep an eye. Don't have to fixate on that feeling, but just keep an eye on that feeling.
I love that.
That actually goes into listening to your body. We're going a bit out of order, sorry. But it does go into listening to your body. So your body does know before you do, and your body never lies. So pay attention to that knot in your stomach and that feeling of unease. So if you are getting just a vibe, just you can't quite name it, you can't quite put your finger on it, but you're getting the feeling, honestly, just lean into it. In Christian circles, we would call that discernment. So it's a part of your spirit telling you no, just no, and you're not in the will of God. So just don't do that. Just trust your gut, trust your body. Do not lean into it.
I want to add to that as well and say that if the first, the second or the third encounter with that person gave you all sorts of feelings where you were like, this is unsafe. Like I remember with my previous partner, my recent experience, the first and the second experience with like meeting this person was so horrifying. Mm. I remember being forced to walk, like for this person to take me to my hotel. And I remember saying to that person, no, I've got dinner with friends. I actually didn't. I was having just dinner by myself, but this person insisted on waiting for me outside the restaurant, parked in his car, waiting for me until I got out because he said that Chinatown in Sydney was really dangerous. And I remember thinking to myself, I feel like I'm being stalked right now, even though this person is kind of saying he's like doing me a favor, but I actually feel really unsafe and like I'm being stalked right now. And then later on, I've discovered that this is there's a term called fawn, which is kind of a fight or flight method where we become people pleasers because we feel like it's more safe for us to be a people pleaser than for us to confront the person because we're in danger.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I remember coming out of the restaurant like an hour or two later, he was still there and he insisted on walking me to my hotel room.
Yeah, that's just not right. Yeah.
But he had his daughter with him and I thought, oh, hopefully he's not going to do anything when his daughter's physically there with him. And I actually remember that split second of looking into his eyes and feeling so scared and thinking to myself, what is more dangerous right now, saying no and him potentially attacking me or saying yes and just hoping for the best that, you know, I just get to my my hotel and he just leaves. So these are signs, like feeling like, you know, I remember that night being in my hotel room, having a shower and having this flashback to that movie Taken and thinking, oh my goodness, like I feel physically unsafe right now, even though the person's gone. So if you are having these sudden, like, unconscious, subconscious thoughts that come up, or you have this gut feeling, like the other day I had a friend who was telling me that, because we go dancing and, you know, often we meet people that we don't know when we're dancing, and some people give us good vibes and some people give us bad vibes. Yeah. And her telling me for some reason there was this guy that was really, really nice, but he gave her bad vibes.
Yeah.
So listen to those initial gut feelings because once you've been love bombed and you start rationalizing, it's too late, because that person has already started to wrap you around, you know, their fingers and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. The second one that I want to mention is actually having physical boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a person that tends to fall head over heels, especially if you've been physically intimate with someone, do not cross that line. Because once you do, your body is actually producing hormones of like bonding, bonding hormones. And again, that will cloud your judgments. So I think creating physical boundaries is really, really it's really, really important. And like what we've just said, check in with your body's wisdom.
Yeah, I think that boundaries are so important. And, I mean, I'm obviously a leader, in a Christian leader, and so I will always tell my ladies, do not give of your body in your relationship too early, or if at all. Obviously, I had physical boundaries in my relationship with my husband before we were married, and we had to put in physical boundaries, so do not have sex. Well, what is sex? How is it defined? Is it everything but? Is it, you know, what is it? And we actually had to discuss what do we deem is okay and where do we want to draw those lines. And it's okay to slip, but it's important to know, okay, why are those boundaries in place? Are they because it's what society says I should? If you're a Christian, it's because you should. Again, I said in the last episode, I hate those shoulds. But put in those boundaries, whether they're time boundaries as well, so the amount of time you spend with them, the, how frequently, just put them in place for yourself. Don't allow yourself to be in a situation where you can be manipulated, but also boundaries are really healthy. Put boundaries in your relationships with your parents, with your friends, with your coworkers. These are really important things. There's an amazing book. I can't remember who it's the author is off the top of my head, but there is a book called Boundaries. Changed my life. I was in an unhealthy relationship.
I think I've
at
read
church.
It. Actually, I think I've is it red?
It's red, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a picture of a pencil on it.
Yes.
It's written by these
I've
two psychologists.
That exact book.
It is life-changing. So I'll give Phoebe the author and she can pop it in the show notes. But read that if you want to learn about boundaries.
I think our third point, we actually mentioned a lot of it in episode one, or the previous episode anyway. Have a listen to that. But we've talked about things like the Perpetual Victim Act. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the fact that they can be very, very two-faced. So in the beginning, very charming, very, very, very generous. They'll literally take their shirt off and
give,
you know,
it to someone.
And give it to someone when they have nothing. And those are things that are going to make you feel, like if you're an empath like myself, they're the things that are going to make you feel so like wanting to give back to that person because they were so kind to you when they have nothing. Be very careful of that. Yeah. And have a look at also, I'm going to add this because I really think that this is a big one. Have a look at how they treat their family members and also their pets.
Yeah, that's good.
Super random. But for example, the person that I was dating spoke terribly of every single family member. Yep. He's had a fallout with every single parent, stepsister, stepbrother, every single person that is in his family doesn't talk to him, or he doesn't talk to them. His stories were always, you know, it was their fault. But I also noticed that when he got a dog, one of the things that I noticed was there wasn't that genuine love for the pet until I actually called it out or mentioned it.
Yeah.
And then there was this like over the top act of love for the pet, which was obviously very fake.
That was just him learning from you.
And one of the things that I actually found was quite scary as well was the way he would discipline his pet. So it was like physically abusive.
Yeah.
And it would be a sudden lash out in anger. And I remember thinking to myself, I hope he never does that to my dog.
Yeah.
Because, wow, if you lay a finger on Evie, oh my goodness.
Heads will roll.
Yep. So, yeah, look at how they treat their loved ones. Yeah. And also be careful of falling into the trap of thinking they're so loving because they can put on an act.
Yeah, I observe how they talk about others. And I think the last one that I think is really important is in every circumstances, stay connected with your support system, with your support network, your friends, your family. Do not distance yourself. It is and I'm saying this as a married woman who's really struggling to maintain my relationships because my season of life has changed. But it is really important for the health and my well-being to stay connected to those people who I deem really important to me, who I know are not yes people, who will call me out on my nonsense, but also who encourage me and love me and support me. So stay connected with your support system. Don't compromise that under any circumstance. If they are saying to you, we're not sure about your partner, listen to them because they know you and they're not in the love bubble. So, yeah.
I totally agree. And I want to just add to that as well, that if your partner is starting to say things like, for example, if your mum and dad don't approve, this is a big one, which we'll talk about in another episode, but one of the big red flags and signs in the beginning of my relationship was my mum and dad feeling like this was not right for me. Mm. And if that occurs, what will happen is the narcissist will actually try and flip the script and make your parents or your family out to be the bad guys. So they'll start saying things like, oh, they don't want your happiness or they're just being super controlling or this person just is jealous, for example, if it's a friend.
Yep.
So be very, very careful with what you divulge. Like if your parents or your friends have said, hey, just be careful of this or that they're downright not approving, don't go back and tell your partner that.
Yeah.
Talk to someone professional or another friend or somebody else.
Yep.
But whatever you do, do not share that with the partner that you're still figuring out because whatever they say will just be to cloud your judgment and to win back your love.
Also, if it is an unfair statement, it's so hurtful to your partner as well. So, yeah.
That's exactly right. That's very true.
We are having an episode coming up where we're going to be talking how to be a supportive friend or family member of someone in a narcissistic relationship so we can jump deeper into that whole process then. But I think that's it for today's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And
short and sweet today.
Short and sweet. But again, we're going to put all these in the show notes. So we're going to like list them. There's going to be a lot more detail as well in the show notes for this one because this is a particularly short episode. But a lot more detail on
the resources to follow up on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And how to stay safe and avoid falling for a narcissist.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you so much for listening. We hope that this brings value to you and that it's providing insight and clarity for those that need it. And we just hope that, you know, that you guys stay educated and informed because what I want to see is that every single person thrives and shines in life and in business. And the most important thing is to stay safe and to surround yourself with people that build you up, that lift you up, that inspire and motivate you. And that's how you can thrive and shine in business and in life. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.